very warm welcome to the best podcast in the world. Welcome to the Strength and Skills Podcast. This is your favorite host, Nick Tigusek, and with me is your other favorite host, Rado the Boss Bossage.
Hi, everyone. What's up?
Right. We brought a very important topic here today, as we would love to talk about the most important base of your training, the Big Six. And that's kind of something that we need to talk about it, as this is a big part of our training philosophy, being good at the Big Six, actually. Mm-hmm. And for us, I think we need to start to explain what is the Big Six. And Big Six is pretty much mostly about strength training. But we will have some add-ons in the end. But it starts actually with some vertical pulling and vertical pushing. And for everyone who doesn't know what's vertical pulling and vertical pushing, that's actually just doing pull-ups, chin-ups, stuff like that for vertical pulling and pressing things or yourself overhead. So part of it can be a handstand push-up, but it can also be an OHP. It doesn't matter, because for us, it's very important to understand to be strong at these things also keeps you healthy. And that's why we always say that's these things are life goals, because for us, it's of course important to be as strong as possible, also in a competition or something. But I want to do that when I'm 60. Still want to do that. And that's a very important one. So to have that in mind, I think the next one, horizontal ones, tell us about it.
Yeah, then as you have the vertical pulling and pushing, you also have horizontal pulling and pushing. And for the horizontal pull, an example would be like any kind of rowing. And for the horizontal pushing, you can do push-ups, bench presses, etc. Also like dips. Before, I always had this confusion. I thought that dips, because they have this pretty vertical movement, I thought that dips were a vertical pushing movement. But then later on, I realized that they're actually also a horizontal pushing movement. The same case as with the vertical ones, you also want to do these as for health reasons and the same reasons that you mentioned long term.
Absolutely. Because when you look at how these muscles that have to work there, how they actually work, you pretty much work everything in the upper body with that. And Absolutely. Now is everyone, but that's only bent arm. Yeah, that's only bent arm. Because when you look at it, the human body is made to move. And yes, calisthenics is very natural because you move the body weight. And we have to say it, but the straight arm things like planches, front levers, and all that stuff, that's not very natural. We have to look at it from that point. I mean, it doesn't mean that it is completely unhealthy or something at all, but you don't need it actually to be trained well. And that's pretty important to say. I mean, that's why I always see these things as something that's a nice add-on. It's cool to have that. But when you have very less time to train and you train for being strong and healthy, I would never go for straight arm strength.
Yeah, it's probably not essential for everyone. Yeah.
It's a nice add-on. It's the next step on the stage. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, for sure.
For everyone who's having really short time for training, do your pull-ups, do your overhead pressing, do some horizontal pressing, do some horizontal rowing, and you're good with the upper body. That's it.
Yeah, unless you have the goal of really achieving the full front lever or the planche.
Yes.
Then you absolutely have to have it in the program.
That's a different desire.
Absolutely.
Of course.
Absolutely.
And of course, we can talk about the handstand. The handstand is also not a very natural way of being. I mean, come on. When in your life are you going on your hands? Probably never.
Yeah.
Then this doesn't mean that I hate that stuff. I don't want to be the guy who, oh, he's just hating around and that stuff. But it's just that's the facts, man. That's it.
Yeah.
All right. Nobody. What do you think?
Yeah, what is nobody? You have to have some hinges, which is basically everything that concerns extension at the hip. And then you also want to have extension at the knee, which is basically squatting movements, you know, all kinds of squatting movements. So that can also be a leg press, you know, over a hack squat, everything that extends the knee. And having these two also tackles basically the whole body, the whole lower body. Yeah.
Absolutely. So to keep things very, very easy, if you would do pull-ups, OHP, push-ups, some rowing, deadlifts, and squats, you would be pretty good set up for proper training for everyone. So
if you
take these big six exercises, you're good to go.
Mm.
You can fill a whole week of training with that.
Oh yeah.
I think what comes in now is the very important one. For every exercise that you do here, most of them are done with like two legs, two arms. It is very important to do them also with one leg and one arm for stability reasons most of the time. Mm-hmm. So when you have that, bringing in some assistance exercise with that, you're good to go.
Oh yeah.
I mean, honestly, when you listen to this one, after this, you're pretty good to go with your own programming for the week. That's what I do. I mean, a lot of programs look like that for years now. You're doing you're doing your bilateral stuff, and then you're doing your unilateral stuff. That's it.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward, and you know, just like people shouldn't overcomplicate it. Just keep it simple, as you noted. Do the stuff that we said now, and overload it over time, and that's it. That's how you grow.
That's it. Yeah. So when you listen to this podcast, this is the episode where you just learn how to do that stuff. And if you still don't get it, you can still contact us and we're going to help you with that. But actually, that's the base of it.
Mm-hmm.
Having bilateral and then unilateral stuff. And then maybe some, yeah, now we're drifting back into some programming stuff. But when you, when you're doing some isolating stuff afterwards, then you're good to go. But actually, these two things, big bilateral and then unilateral stuff, then you're good to go. That's it. That's, you don't need more.
Yeah.
I think something that we need to bring in there, as you mentioned, you said you can also do some leg press stuff and all that stuff. That's absolutely true, but there's a but. Because one very important part for your body to be able to bring in strength overall and to stay healthy, you have to be able to stabilize your spine.
Mm-hmm.
And usually when it comes to the lower body stuff like squatting and deadlifting, you have to stabilize the spine, and you learn that very good there. So you have a carryover into that. Of course, you have that too when you do some push-ups or some overhead pressing, stuff like that. But being able to be resistant against resistance, it will be very important to be able to do that. And that's the stuff that a lot of calisthenics people tend to forget, that stabilizing your spine is something you might not think about it when you're 20. You might not think about it when you're 30, but you will start thinking about it when you get 40, because from there on, you're getting old, man, and you need to be able to stabilize that shit. And stabilizing the hip and all that stuff, not being able to walk must be pretty shit.
Yeah, you don't want that.
So that's a very important one right here. That's why everybody always says, Nick, you want to make everybody squat. Nah, yes, I do. But I want everybody to be healthy. That's why. For me, it's a big part of the big six. Maybe the most important part because, yeah, that's it. And that's why I always push people into train your legs. And Dennis, when you hear this, train your legs. That's our joke all the time. All right. I think some add-ons on that. Let's talk about some carries. What do you think about some carries? Should we put them on the menu?
Well, I wouldn't say that they are absolutely necessary, you know, because when I look at my own training, not only now but also in the past, I didn't do too much carries, but only in circumstances when they were needed, you know.
Yeah.
So I had it in some training programs, and I absolutely loved the benefits from them. And I also love how they are really a full body exercise, and you also can't go wrong with that, you know.
Yeah. That's very, very important to tell here. You know, when it comes to strength training, I always think about, okay, what is actually needed to be the strongest human that I can possibly be. Mm-hmm. And for that, I need to maybe kill an animal or an enemy, and being able to carry that animal or that enemy somewhere. If I'm in the mafia, I have to put them into the river or something. But when you're carrying an animal or something, you have to be able to do that, to bring it home and stuff like that. Yeah. So I'm thinking of that stuff when I talk about that. Maybe today it's just bringing what you're shopping from the supermarket back home and being able to do so. I mean, yeah. Come on. And that's something, in my opinion, everyone should be able to do that. Bring your shopping home. Come on. Without dying, without having any pain or something like that. Because, hey, what are we talking about? Not even 50 kg. You should be able to do so. So the carries are a big factor for me, but not such as big as you might think when I talk about it like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at training from that point of view, of course we have to bring in also the cardio factor, which might be something like the big eight now. But when you look how humans did hunt back in the days, I mean, what was it?
I mean, we are clear endurance runners, you know, would hunt the animal until the animal died from tiredness. So,
yeah.
No, it's a big factor in our development. Absolutely.
Running. Absolutely. The body is made to do that. I mean, that's what it can really, really do. But most of the people might to think that Nick hates cardio, and I do hate cardio, but I also love the cardio. So we have to bring the cardio in there. I mean, that's some stuff you should be able to do, to run at least a certain amount of distance. Can I say it like that? I don't know if that's proper English, but I hope everyone got me. You need to be able to do that, and that's some stuff that I always think of. Being the best hunter in the tribe should be a good goal. For that you need to be strong, for that you need to be able to do some cardio, and of course now comes something in where we will get the attention of Rado back doing some sprints.
Mm. Oh yeah, but I mean,
please go on.
I mean, I would definitely like put it also in the realm of cardio. It's just that you can then choose what fits you better, I would say. You know, if you're a person that enjoys steady state cardio, light intensity, then definitely go for that. I know that if you would ask me what I would prefer, then I would definitely go for the HIIT side, you know, like higher intensity interval training and just doing the cardio in 10 minutes and then you're done.
Because
kind of, you know, but then you also have to be careful in terms of fatigue things, you know, definitely affect you afterwards. But in terms of time consumment, it's definitely better for me. You
know? Absolutely. I'm completely with you on that point. Absolutely. So we have the most important things for a good base in training. Mm-hmm. I mean, doing some vertical pushing, doing some vertical pulling, horizontal pushing, pulling, lower body pulling and pushing. We talked about the carries, talking about a little bit of cardio. And in the end, I think that's actually the most important base of training. When you have that stuff, you're good to go. Because that's mostly it. And then you have the perfect hybrid athlete because he can do anything and join into everything. And then you may be the one who just specializes into something very specific, maybe a weighted calisthenics competition or a powerlifting competition, or being able to jump into something like a marathon or something like that, because you have the base to do so. You can jump into anything that you want to, because you're already at the at a proper level of athletic. Can we talk about it? I don't like to see this as an athletic thing, because for me, this is actually, it's pretty human to be like that, you know? And so I see this as just being human.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
And being able to jump in into anything and specialize into anything is, for me, the most important part of training, because this builds the base in the end to be very strong. Also, when I'm in an older age, but I also like the idea of being strong at everything. I just like that.
Yeah, sure. Something that I wanted to note is like this realization of having these patterns, you know, the vertical pulling and pushing patterns, the horizontal ones, and et cetera. It really was important for me in my development, not only as an athlete, but also as a coach, because you then kind of go away from this thinking of, hey, I need to tackle this muscle group, I need to tackle this muscle group, and you go more into the realm of thinking about patterns, you know? Mm-hmm. And if you do a certain pattern, you immediately, you know, tackle also a lot of muscle groups at once. And like having this switch from muscle groups to movement patterns is, I think, really important and really beneficial, because, you know, you have so much bang for your buck and you cover so much with this, for example, just one exercise, you know?
Absolutely.
So you don't have to think about having, you know, like 10 exercises for your lat. If you think of, you know, just covering vertical and horizontal pulling, you're pretty much good to go in terms of your back development, you know?
Also, absolutely.
Hinging movements in there, you're complete, you know? That's it.
Absolutely. I'm totally with you. I think that's an aspect we definitely had to talk about. That's a good throwing in there. As most people always have this in mind, this bodybuilding perspective. Sure. But thinking in muscle groups is, for most people, actually, when you're not like at least 5 years of training and real training, not this what you do in the first 3 years or something, it's just not necessary. It's not needed at all.
And then also people like tend to go even deeper into it, and I see like beginners having 10 exercises only for their bicep and breaking the bicep from every possible angle. It's probably not necessary for them, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
It does make sense for more advanced people who need to tackle and refine little details.
Yeah.
At the start, you don't have to worry about that.
But this is, once again, the thing with this building a proper base for the specialization.
Oh, yeah.
So once you hit certain good numbers in the big six, then you might be the one that when you can, then you can go into a specialization of bodybuilding, powerlifting, weighted calisthenics, maybe a skills athlete or something like that. But if you didn't get the proper numbers in the other things, there's no need to specialize into something. Build a proper base. That's like when you go to school. If you can't read and can't do simple math and can't write, there's no need to put you into history because you will not understand anything. All right. Hope everyone got that. If you need any help to build that proper base, and also if you want to specialize into maybe weighted calisthenics, we are ready to help. You can definitely hit us up on bar-bellcoaching.de/links for that. And that's definitely where you can get some help. But there's another thing. We have a Facebook group of the hybrid athlete community. And if you like these topics, talking about training from that perspective, then feel free to join us on Facebook, the Hybrid Athlete Community. We'd love to welcome you there. And I wish you a very amazing weekend now. And have a nice one. Get strong on the Big Six.